reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. And Marianne, I shared that verse. It was a great one I came across recently. But in light of Bob Dickey being on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends and sharing the importance of witnessing and testifying to God's goodness and taking opportunity to transition conversations into spiritual things, and I thought this one is a great one, and I love for to me to live as Christ and to die as gain.
He definitely is not ashamed of the gospel.
No, that's a good one.
Wonderful.
So if you missed Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, and I was telling you this, Dee, that, oh, if you missed it, go to our archive programs page, greatnewsradio.org, because Bob lit a fire under both of us, and I hope brought not only hope to many people, but maybe some conviction that, you know, I believe this Jesus Christ. I know he died for my sins, but I'm not telling anyone about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob gave a lot of different reasons and even techniques and a list of like four or five things to be mindful of when you share your faith.
Yeah, he did.
So they're worth tuning in. But Bob Dickey, he's finishing so well, and who knows? He might be around another 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
He's been finishing well for a number of years
here. That's right. So, log on to greatnewsradio.org, go to the Mark and Friends link, and if you listen to Monday and Tuesday's program, I'm sure you're in for a blessing. And speaking of blessings, there's a blessing to my left, a blessing to my right, Marianne to my right, Dee Chesler to my left.
Wow. And what are we supposed to say? Oh, Dee, and there's a blessing here for us, right in front of us.
And if they turn to this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, specifically page A11, and you look at a photograph of this sweet little, how old are you there, Dee?
I think about three.
Three years old with little
precious
Oscar the goose duck.
It's
worth having the paper, tracking it down in one of our 350 area locations just to see this picture.
It's priceless.
Yeah, it's a great one. Another little shout out. It's day three of Tim Nelson being in Springfield, a new member of our staff. And in fact, three or four other board members will be joining me. We'll be unloading Tim's U-Haul.
Oh, nice.
He's got a home in Springfield, so he really wants to be engaged with the folks in and around Springfield and active in various events. But he doesn't close on his house in Springfield for another couple of weeks. So we're going to unload his U-Haul into a storage unit for a few weeks.
Okay.
But it's great having him on the team both Monday and Tuesday. I was training him and working with him, and he's going to be just a great blessing to the listeners. And
so exciting.
I can't wait to more formally introduce him.
I
think maybe he'll be on Monday's edition of Mark and Friends.
Great.
Now that we've finished.
Week.
Yeah, next week. Now that we've finished our read through the 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. And you and I have started to talk about it. I don't know when we're going to launch into it, but we're going to do a reading also by Robert J. Morgan on some of the background stories to famous hymns
I'm
songs.
I'm so looking forward to
And
that.
Then we're going to play some of those songs or the arrangements. And I think we'll build that up maybe in July. We'll see when we officially launch that.
So looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I love hymns.
It'll be a good one. So, that's it. So, we'll be working today in Springfield again, but I think three or four board members. So
is this all the announcements you have?
Yeah, I think that's all I had written down here.
Okay. This is an unusual.
Of course, I can come up with some more.
It's okay.
Like
it's
last Friday's gathering with the pastors.
I didn't get to talk about that.
And, our singing men on Monday nights are meeting again.
Now you're back in gear.
We're praying up the children's choir.
I knew it.
And then there's the update on the Line, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We're getting closer to having that pulled together. Boy, Kate Freeman and Les Joy have been working hard behind the scenes, still finding sound effects and working on different things.
So, everything's opening up. Great things coming.
That's going to be so good.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dee, what brings you to our studio?
Oh, for heaven's sake. You know what brings her.
I just wanted to see my picture.
When you were three. Well, Dee has written a great article, and I'm not going to build it up because you'll get to just hear it and you'll love it. It's called City Cousin. So take it away, Dee.
Thank you. Were you a city cousin? I was, and as a youngster, I carefully picked my way across the farmyard in my white polished shoes. Yes, polished every day with real white shoe polish. I avoided any chicken, goose, or duck droppings, which were prolific.
I haven't ever heard that word used for droppings.
Well, there was many.
It's
a farmyard, Mark. I wasn't brave enough to venture out into the yard and just stayed on the walk that started at the back door and sloped slightly downhill to the driveway that encircled my grandparents' farm. I didn't want to mess up my pristine shoes. After all, I was a city cousin. When I had my older play shoes on, I would run across the yard. Still very carefully, with my favorite companion, my pet, Oscar the Goose.
Now, where did you come up with the Oscar name?
I have no idea.
Okay, he was just Oscar.
You know how many years ago that was?
Yeah, yes.
Don't ask.
Yeah.
I think he was really a duck, but I had named him Oscar the Goose, and so he remained. Until he mysteriously disappeared one holiday season. As an adult, I realize what happened, but I don't like to think about it. On the farm, my cousin Doreen and I played house, while our brothers, my one and her three, played with the big wooden barn my mother had built and brought to the farm when she realized it was too big for our house. It had a real haymow door on hinges and was painted red just like our granddad's barn. When the boys weren't playing with the barn replica, they would run off to the real barn, where I watched in rapt horror at some of their antics and in awe at others. I marveled at their prowess as they swung from ropes in the haymow, dropping off into high mounds of hay bales. I wasn't supposed to go near the barn. I had hay fever that caused sneezing fits. But I must admit, despite the sneezing, I would still venture into the barn. An absolutely fascinating place. It had mangers filled with hay, more sneezing, for the huge cow's contented chewing pleasure. There was a groove in the cement floor behind the cows that Granddad shoveled out each day. Yuck! There was also a ladder built right into the barn wall leading to the forbidden haymow. Beside the manger stood my grandfather's three-legged stool, where he would deftly balance as he milked the cows, pausing every few minutes to aim a white stream into the mouths of the barn cats and kittens.
Hey, back to that forbidden hay mow. Is that where the boys always were?
Yeah.
That's where you wanted to go,
yes,
too.
Yes, and I wanted to be up there with them. I wasn't about to swing off those ropes and drop, though. I mean, that was really high.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, everything was bigger because I was so little, right. But still was really, really high. As wonderful as the barn was, my favorite place was Cousin Doreen's playhouse in the grove. The farm grove was magical. On the edge of the farmhouse yard and outbuildings, it could be a small, medium, or large number of trees, like a miniature forest, ending at the edge of the corn or bean fields. But more magical still was what it contained.
Was there a lantern in there and a light? And did you access it through the wardrobe?
No. We probably would have set something on fire. It contained the playhouse. Space among the trees was divided and designated living room, kitchen, bedroom, and front door, each furnished with discarded pieces that might have qualified as junk, but had become makeshift furniture. There were broken chairs and part of a kitchen cabinet stocked with empty cans and containers that once held baking powder and Watkins vanilla. It was a little girl's paradise. When playtime was over, we joined brothers and cousins for lunch with milk or, if we were lucky, Kool-Aid in a brightly colored aluminum glass at the table and the chairs that are now considered retro. I can eat at a set in my son's kitchen. Playtime with cousins was fun, but so was the weekly trip to town, walking up and down Main Street, visiting the dime store, grocery and clothing stores, and the creamery for a malted milk or cone. The drive home was just as interesting as the visit to town. We watched for all the different groves that marked each farm, some close to the road, and others set back at the end of a long lane, As we drove past, we saw farms with just a few trees in their groves and others with what looked like a huge forest. This small city girl was in awe. The farmhouses and barns were all different sizes and shapes. Children would be playing in the yard, swinging on a rubber tire swing or playing tag and waving to us as we passed. Close to my grandparents' farm, we could see Odin Flatgard driving his tractor down the lane that Opal walked every day to pick up the mail. And Johnny Yoder in the field, with Lizzie standing in the side yard waving a dish towel for him to come in for dinner.
Now, this Odin and Opal, do you have stories about them?
Oh, do I ever.
All right, going on.
We won't go into that. All of this is a rich feast of memories, wonderful memories. But if you drive that same road today, you will see an entirely different landscape. Some lanes now lead only to empty groves, where the trees stand like silent sentinels guarding what used to be a bustling farmyard, now a desolate and empty space. The buildings have disappeared, as though erased by a giant hand, but in reality torn down to make way for another acre or two of corner beans. In other places where there should be a lane, there is none. Not even a hint of the narrow gravel road with the green weeds down the center. Even the grove is gone, cut down and plowed under. Such is the fate of the Flatgard farmstead, though those of the Yoders and my grandparents are still standing. As I drive by, I can visualize what's missing, and I can hear the echoes of children playing, the tractors driving past, and the sounds of the hens in the chicken coop. But the magic vision now exists only in my mind. While I reminisce, I think that these places weren't just farms, something to be torn down when no longer needed to gain a few more bushels at harvest time, but were real homes for a special group of people, farmers. And they should be remembered, if only in the mind of a city cousin.
Wow, Mary Ann is being very touched.
What good writing.
Very good.
What good writing. And here's the byline. Copyright D.A. Cheshire, used by permission. D directs the Great News Radio Children's Choir. Email her at dannecheshire@gmail.com. It's a great article. Everybody reads it, cries almost.
Yeah, I think you were talking about Mark in volunteer with the radio ministry, and he was
just loving it
and moved to go outside.
Yeah,
and
breathe the air and look and say, that is what happened.
And I think all of us, we shared a few stories beforehand, but when we go back to where we grew up or an experience from the past, like 30, 40, 50 years ago, everything seems smaller
or different or gone.
Very different. Yeah. When you've returned to Africa,
your sense was like it's so different,
Mark. You can't even fathom what it was like. And last week I was talking with Jason, and he took his children to, I think it was Six Flags.
Oh.
And he remembers it as a child. And he's like, it was so much smaller than I remember. And it's like, oh, it only went this far. But as a kid, it seemed like it went on and on forever. But he said, with his children, it was like, this is pretty small.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Good article.
City
good
cousin.
Story. Good writing.
June edition of the Prime Lifetime.
And what a great picture. Okay. I have to ask you, I think I started on this before today's broadcast, but where were you living when you went to the farm? I know you talk about the city, started with an M sometimes.
Mankato.
I love the stories about that. You've told it. I think about the popcorn.
Yes,
being
the popcorn
on
wagons.
The street
yes.
and everything
yes.
that you write
yeah.
about. But so where were you living when you went out as the city cousin to
I'm
the farm?
Thinking we were still in Jackson where I was born. This farm is in Jackson.
Okay.
We lived there for probably the first almost 5 years of my life.
Okay.
Sometimes on the farm, sometimes in the city of Jackson, which is actually a town. It's quite small. And then we moved to Mankato.
Okay.
And my dad built us a prefab house.
In Mankato.
In Mankato.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mankato is the one you write about, and the Christmas lights, it all looks so big and amazing to you on the street lamps. And
And Mankato was much, much bigger than Jackson, but then When I married, I moved to Minneapolis and or St. Oh. Paul, and that, that's a little bigger than Mankato.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, interesting.
And those familiar with Minneapolis and St. Paul, they know you're talking about Minnesota.
Yes.
Minnesota.
Oh, don't get her started.
Yeah. As I've said a thousand times, we don't really talk like that in Minnesota. But go ahead, make fun.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here in Central Illinois.
I am,
and
too.
We can't wait to start up or relaunch the children's choir. We're still praying that through, mm-hmm. and we'll wait to see when the parents and everyone feels really comfortable and confident. But mm-hmm. Are you ready for your third year of the children's choir with us?
I am.
Okay, we'll keep praying that up and see how God leads, and hopefully we can make an announcement maybe in the coming weeks or coming months, hopefully. And maybe get them ready for a Christmas
yes.
concert with the singing
yes.
men.
Oh, wouldn't
Gina.
That be nice?
Oh, goodness.
We'll see about
things
this.
Are that. Happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the June edition, available at over 350 locations near you. And you can find out more at primelifetimes.com. PrimeLifeTimes.com, go to the distribution link, and then we sort all the cities by Illinois and Indiana and then alphabetize. So you can just keep scrolling down and find a location near you. And we're constantly adding new locations, and we hope that you're enjoying the Prime Life Times, and you can tell that distribution location where you're at, thanks for carrying them or having them here available free of charge so we can pick them up. And certainly the advertisers, they help pay for this paper so it can be offered free. And so thank the advertisers, too.
You probably hear rustling paper. I am trying to find the page that has the gathering, the Front Porch Cafe ad. Oh, there it is. If you buy a sandwich there in Gilman, Illinois, if you buy a sandwich, you get, this is real exciting to me, a half pound of homemade fudge free.
And that's made daily, too. That fudge is very fresh.
I'm driving up to get the fudge. Yes. I'll buy the sandwich so I can get the fudge. Yeah. Half pound of free fudge. That is on page A9.
Wow.
And it's an experience. It's like an antique store and yeah. a novelty shop, and they have all sorts of things. It's an experience. You can
and
spend
fudge.
A few hours there. And
wow.
Great owners there, and we appreciate them advertising. And
you don't have to go, Marianne. I'll drive.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm good. I'm good. I love fudge. I love chocolate. I love homemade
And Marianne,
fudge.
You're a gift giver, so when you return, could you bring a little fudge and put it in the refrigerator for me?
You seem to know about the fudge that you didn't bring back.
No, I've not been there yet, so
okay,
if
all
I
right.
do go, I will okay. bring you some fudge.
I will bring you some, too, then we'll be equal. There's a lot of good stuff in this paper.
Mm-hmm.
Bean cherry salad on A13.
That sounds really
doesn't
good.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I know, me too. I wanted to make that write off. What else have we got in here? We've got, oh, I talked about the other day, I talked about the communicate nice, say nice things.
Oh, and the puzzles.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have Rob read this Rural Memories next week.
Mm.
We're going to have him read it because it's hilarious. Big Bill and the Racing Pheasant.
Hey, Bob, how about A2?
Okay.
The Harvest Moon Drive-In. Some of you haven't been into a drive-in in maybe 20, 30, 50 years. Some of you, if you've moved to Illinois, maybe never knew that drive-ins existed.
Well, this is one of the original, I mean, this is pretty old.
Yeah, it's
old.
Been around, yeah. I think, 67 years.
Wow.
And it's one of the few left in Illinois, and many states never have had drive-ins, but
right.
they still have their two screens, and so they have a variety of movies. Sometimes you can be there till almost like midnight. If it's a double feature and you start watching it at sundown, it might be, you know, 7:45, 8:15, 8:30, and then suddenly it's over at like 10:20, and the next one starts up. It's like, wow, this is a late nighter.
They've all disappeared pretty much. We used to go out in Jackson with my cousins, and we'd all sit on the backs of cars, and they'd set up just a small screen and show the old movies, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle.
Oh, a homemade drive-in.
Yeah, homemade drive-in.
Aww.
And then they took down the screen, and, of course, it disappeared. But they didn't have a drive-in, per se.
That's interesting you're saying that, because Randall C. Hill, who's one of our writers, he wrote about how the original drive-in started, and it was just like that. Some guy had set something up
big
in his
sheet.
Yard.
It was a big
yeah.
sheet.
Big sheet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't
and
a
it
screen.
Caught on
it was
like lightning.
Yeah. And in the old days, you'd have that big box, the sound that you would put onto your window.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember
now
that.
Now it's all high tech. You dial your radio dial to like 90.3 or whatever. They give you two frequencies, and so they have a little transmitter, so you just dial it right to your car
so
radio.
So you don't have the big box
no,
anymore?
No, the big box.
I remember that.
Which half the time
yes.
it didn't either
I know,
work.
Everybody worried over that box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the wires would be kind of hanging.
I know.
People would drive off and they'd...
Don't yeah, knock anyways. The box off.
Yeah.
Or
I had a boyfriend who didn't want it to scratch the car.
Oh yeah, be careful
well, that's
with
important.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to sit in our old station wagon where then the back hatch would drop down and you would put the pillows and the blankets mm-hmm. and
yeah,
you'd lay
yeah,
and
yeah.
watch it. Or
oh,
we had like
fun.
A pickup where you'd sit in the back with the lawn chairs and
so fun.
Oh my
so
goodness.
Fun.
And nowadays, and it's still the same, the children will get there an hour or two. They'll have like a tailgate going on, but you used to play kickball or
yeah.
you'd do all sorts of fun things with all the kids around oh. there. And then you would all, it's movie time. You'd run to your car and watch it.
But. So we're pretty fortunate to have a drive-in.
And Mike Haroon, who's one of our founding partners in uh-huh. the radio ministry,
yeah.
he still is right in the little ticket booth as you come in.
There seriously.
There might be 37 cars in a line, and he'll sit there and talk to you. And is it your first time here?
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, Mike Haroon, when we were starting and launching the radio ministry like 26 years ago, somebody said, you should talk to him. He's kind of humanitarian-minded and might, come up with some monies. And at the time, to be a founding partner, it was a $5,000 donation. Mm. And I didn't know him, but we met and talked, and he said, sounds like a good thing, and I think he was number two or number three and came up with $5,000, which was huge because
oh, yeah.
we weren't even on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he's been a founding partner these 25, 26 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's getting near retirement. This, I think, at the end of June, at the end of this month, he and his wife are going to do the old Route 66 in a convertible and travel. And because of some health issues and such, he's slowing down, and his sons are going to take over the drive-in. And anyways,
so head on out to the drive-in and get your ticket from Mike.
Yeah, say hi to Mike for us. Say you heard us talking about him on the air. He'll smile. He's got a great heart. He a lot of times has fundraisers for St. Jude and how they minister to the children with different illnesses, and he's a big advocate.
That's
and
great.
I think when you buy popcorn, a dollar or two always goes to the St. Jude home.
Yeah.
And
you said they've got food out there, hamburgers.
Oh yeah, hamburgers, treats, snacks,
oh my goodness,
cotton candy.
I'm going.
Yeah, so. All right, well, that's the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, the Prime Life Times in Review. Thank you, Dee.
Yes.
Thank you, Marianne, and thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Dee Chesser with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.